This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Back in 2004, a Washington Post reporter met the scientific visionary Marvin Minsky at a conference on the future of the human race. Minsky left a lasting impression. What a character, the reporter wrote. Hawaiian shirt, smile as wide as a frog's, a telescope always in his pocket, a bag full of tools on his belt, including what he said was a cutting laser, and the belt itself woven out of 8,000-pound test Kevlar, which he said he could unravel if he ever needed to pull his car out of a ravine. What a character indeed. But more accurately, what an incredible mind. Minsky died this weekend at the age of 88, and the MIT scientist leaves behind a legacy that changed the world, pioneered the field of artificial intelligence in the 1950s, founding member of MIT's Media Lab, built the first neural network simulator, invented many robotic devices, won computer science's highest prize, and was a musical genius to boot. But most importantly, Marvin Minsky transformed the way we all think about the human brain, about the fundamental nature of intelligence itself. Here he is speaking from his home at an MIT in an MIT Technology Review video just last fall.
I don't think I ever thought there was anything that we couldn't mechanize eventually. The question was when and how difficult and what would have to be done first. The brain has a billion cells, and it could be that there are some things it can do that would be very hard to do with other architectures, but it's not clear that they would be very important. It's a romantic idea that somehow, because it's alive, it's different from other things.
Again, that's the visionary computer scientist Marvin Minsky speaking just last year. Minsky died at the age of 88 this weekend, and we want to remember his legacy. And helping us to do so today is Patrick Winston, professor of artificial intelligence and computer science at MIT. He was Minsky's colleague and former student as well. Professor Winston, welcome to Radio Boston.
You're welcome.
Also with us today from Los Angeles is Alan Kay, Turing Prize winner and a pioneer of personal computing. Alan Kay was a friend and colleague of Minsky's as well for more than 50 years. Alan Kay, welcome to you.
Hello.
I have to say, it saddens me that both of you are joining us today because of Marvin Minsky's passing, but I do want to take this moment to celebrate his life, his achievements, and his mind as well. But Professor Winston, let me start with you first of all and just ask you, what have we as the world lost with Minsky's passing?
Well, we lost a great deal. He was a genius, and he not only established the field of artificial intelligence, he was its principal founder. He also was a beacon throughout his career. He was always describing to us. He was always describing what ought to happen next. He was always laying out the problems that we should work on. So this will live on. The kinds of things he did, the kinds of things he thought about, the kinds of things he suggested are still the kinds of things that we need to work on in order to eventually work out this puzzle of human intelligence.
Mm. And Alan Kay, tell us a little bit more about what Marvin Minsky was as a person, as a colleague, as a friend.
Well, I would say that I think Pat would agree that there's hardly anybody you could imagine who was more vivid than Marvin, who made a bigger impression, who was able to think more differently about more things, and besides making great contributions and having very special ways to make those contributions, he also invented the rest of us, in a sense. And Marvin certainly lives on inside of Pat and me and hundreds of others who knew him.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you both, and Professor Winston, I'll start with you. I talked about this in the introduction, but remind us, how transformative was it when Minsky first started theorizing and talking about the human mind and intelligence in the way that he did?
Well, at first, he had to spend a great deal of time talking about why it was possible. For the first 20 or 30 years of the field, there was a great deal of resistance to the idea that a computer could have a thought. So he spent much of his time in those early days defending the idea that artificial intelligence was possible. And he, I think, found it ironic that in the time since he started the field, we've come to worry about the possibility more than criticize, more than fear that it's impossible.
Mm. And Alan Kay, your thought on that?
Well, I think the combination of his background in mathematics and biology and many other areas gave him such a unique perspective on human intelligence and different ways of thinking about things that he was, I think, more persuasive, as Pat said, than most people, because even though he used the word mechanical, he was really also thinking of transforming what we normally think as mechanical into something much more that we think of as organic.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the internet itself is mechanical, but it's something that, like living organisms, has billions of components to it and has been replacing itself and improving itself without having to be stopped. So it is more like a biological organism than most things that humans make. And so I think Marvin, besides thinking about artificial intelligence, was able to think about real intelligence in a way that informed the rest of us. For instance, we should get Pat to talk about his thesis, because that was one of the great PhD theses around 1970, and it was about what is analogy. How do humans use analogies? How do they learn through analogies, making analogies, seeing examples, and so forth? And
well, let me get Patrick Winston to tell us more about that.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, it was about the idea that we humans, unlike most of computer learning programs, can learn something from a single example. That's an idea that Marvin was very enthusiastic and fond of.
Mm.
But, you know, throughout that time and throughout his career, he was not only a genius-level thinker, but he was also very clever in the way he expressed himself and the way he talked about ideas. About 10 years ago, a chess-playing program beat the world champion, and I once asked him about that program, and I asked him if he thought it was important, and his reply after a few seconds of thought was, it wasn't very important because the program processed information the same way that a bulldozer processes gravel. So he was drawing attention to the fact that what we see in today's intelligent programs is mostly a substitution of brute force for the kind of grace and athleticism that characterizes human thought.
Yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit more from Marvin Minsky himself. Here he is from an interview conducted in 2012 by Ray Kurzweil. And Minsky talks about what his views are on how it is that people actually think.
My conclusion is that there isn't any general principle of how people think, but the thing that makes us so smart. People rarely get stuck, because if some way of thinking doesn't work, they switch to another. So the most important thing about thinking is how some part of the brain will notice that another part isn't getting anywhere. And what does it do? It says, oh, I'll turn some of those off and I'll turn some of those on. And so it's that high-level management where you're hiring new consultants and not listening to old ones. Maybe you do this 5 times a second. You switch how you think.
That's Marvin Minsky speaking in 2012, remembering the pioneering computer scientist and one of the founders of artificial intelligence, because he died just this past weekend. Patrick Winston, let me ask you a little bit about what we just heard Marvin Minsky talk about, because what I come away with in thinking about his career and his legacy is that a lot of lay people, for example, may reduce what Minsky, you know, has provided the world as saying, here's the man who introduced that we should think of the brain as a machine. But it was really much more than that, because I understand that in a way he saw the brain as a machine, but a very specialized one that maybe could not actually be reduced to a particular set of axioms.
Well, that's right. He, throughout his career, believed in multiplicities. He always felt that there are many ways of doing things, many approaches to any particular problem, and he thought that our thinking brain is full of a variety of mechanisms. He was very fond of the term suitcase word, a label he invented for words like intelligence and creativity and emotion. He always felt these were words that were so big, they were big like a big suitcase. You can stuff anything into them. So if you ask him if this was intelligent or if that was creative, he would first ask what you meant by that, because he always felt that these things were labels for lots of diverse capabilities. So it's a machine, but it's a complicated machine with lots of parts. And as he said in that segment, if you don't have many ways of doing things, you have no recourse when you get stuck.
Yeah. You know, Alan Kay, I was reading an interview that Marvin had given to Scientific American, and in that interview, he actually expressed some frustration with the field of artificial intelligence later on, and he said he had succumbed to what he called physics envy, which would Scientific American described as the desire to reduce the intricacies of the brain to simple formula, you know, just smaller and smaller subspecialties, which Minsky said was missing the point entirely of what artificial intelligence could and should be aiming for. Did he ever share those frustrations with you?
Well, I think the notion of physics envy goes all the way back to even his Turing lecture back in 1970, where he said, what do computer people mean when they say computer science? And he was hoping they didn't mean something like library science. You know, he thought that many fields that weren't quite up to being real sciences tended to use science in their name because they were envious of physics. But I think in Marvin's case, because of his background in biology and even music, he was had much more of a feeling about complexity and the many ways that you could approach dealing with various kinds of complexities, as Pat alluded to. One of his great sayings was, you don't understand something if you only understand it one way. And for Marvin, there was no end to the ways you could try to understand something.
Mm. Yeah, I love a quotation I read of his where he was deriding the idea of repetition or single-mindedness. He said that if there's something that you like very much, then you should regard this not as you feeling good, but of a kind of brain cancer, because it means that some small part of your mind has figured out how to turn off all the other things. I mean, his...
In fact, the flip side of what Marvin said in that interview is something he also talked about, which was one of the ways human beings block themselves is by believing in things too deeply.
Mm.
Because once you believe in something, it starts becoming part of your reality, and you start fighting other ways of looking at things.
Yeah. Well, in the last minute that we have, Patrick Winston, let me just give the last word to you. There's so many sides to Marvin Minsky, and his legacy is so rich and so deep, including all the students and fellow researchers that he worked with. I'm just wondering what you think his greatest gift is to the rest of us.
Well, he was always a wonderful mentor. He was always very patient with students, not so much with the ideas he didn't think were good ideas, but he was never... He never attacked people. He always attacked ideas that he didn't like, but he never attacked people. But he was extremely quick, and that's one of the things I remember with the greatest fondness. I would often start to explain an idea to him, and when I was halfway through, he would guess what the idea was, and much of the time, it would be a better idea than the one I was trying to explain. Mm-hmm. So he's an amazing person and full of confidence and passion and mission for what was going on in his laboratory, and as a consequence of that confidence and passion and mission, we all felt an enormous inspiration by being a part of what was a revolution in a way of thinking about what thinking is all about.
Well, that's Patrick Winston, professor of artificial intelligence and computer science at MIT, helping us remember Marvin Minsky, the scientific visionary who really changed the way we think about artificial intelligence, about the human mind and the capacity of machines. Marvin Minsky died this past weekend at the age of 88. Patrick Winston, thank you so much for coming in and helping us remembering Mr. Minsky.
You're welcome.
And Alan Kay, Turing Prize winner and a pioneer of personal computing, speaking to us from Los Angeles today. Alan Kay, thank you as well.
You're welcome.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Radio Boston.